This is Riley coming to you live from my roommate's desk. I don't have a desk in my room, so I'm sitting at my roommate's. Thanks, Maggie. Little shout out to you. So, who is this girl talking to me right now? I know, you want to know. Let me tell you more about me. My name is Riley. Like I said, I'm 21 years old, and I live in Kentucky, the beautiful bluegrass state. And I am trying to figure out this crazy thing, this crazy roller coaster that is our lives. I'm trying to figure it out. I usually don't get it right, almost always don't get it right. But I'm also trying to figure out how to get through this life and how to live this life as a Catholic, which is not always easy. It just isn't. But, you know, I'm just a Catholic girl in a Catholic world. Yes. I just made up my own theme song, and I'll be using that. Look out for the copyright. It's gonna be my new theme that plays every time I enter a room. They'll be like, whoa, who's that girl? Oh, it's just Riley. Yep, it's me. Ha ha. So, more about me. I'm the oldest of 8 kids from a huge family, so I'm really loud. I'm really talkative, because you have to be when you're in a big family if you want people to actually listen to what you're saying, because the rest of my family is all loud and talkative. But they all live in Chicago, so I have my time away from them here. Just kidding, I love them. But yes, I live on a college campus, but I don't attend school. I work full-time as a nanny, and I live with 3 other girls that are currently in school. They are awesome. I love my roommates. I feel like we live in a Catholic sorority house. It's so fun. And you'll probably hear me mention them a lot because I have a lot of really funny stories with them, about them, that they've told me. They're all hilarious, and I hang out with them all the time because I pretty much just hang out with young children, my roommates, and sometimes my brother that goes to school here, sometimes, most of the time, my boyfriend, so that's good. So I'm also living in my period of singleness. What? Shout out to all the single people, all the single ladies out there. I say that I live in my period of singleness, and you're probably like, what? She just said that she has a boyfriend. Yes, I am discerning marriage. It's great. With my boyfriend, he's awesome. But I would still definitely consider us both in our period of singleness, because we're not engaged and we're not married, so we're still in that discernment process. And while we're not single, we are in the period of singleness. Does that make sense? I don't know, that might have gotten confusing for you, but I'm sorry. I'll try to be more clear with my thoughts, more concise, precision of language. My roommate always tells that to me, Maggie. She says that to me all the time, precision of language. I'm working on it. We all have our flaws, right? So, yes, I work full-time as a nanny for 5 kids. I'm sure that they're probably listening right now. They're hilarious. They're so much fun. And they really wear me out in a good way because they all have so much energy, so they make me want to be super energetic and run around all the time. I just can't keep up with the endless supply of 3-year-old energy, though. I try my best. No amount of coffee could give me that energy. If we could bottle it up and sell that, we would make millions. Humans really need to do that. Humans really need to do that instead of the gorillas, you know. Just kidding. So, this week has been crazy. I don't know if you can tell. My thoughts are everywhere. They're all jumbled up. It's been a crazy week. It has been such a good week, but it has been very full. Full with 2-year-old meltdowns, full with me thinking I'm not going to get everything done, my growing to-do list with nothing being checked off. I also could not figure out how to work this microphone that I'm using right now, so it took me like an hour to figure out how to use it. Thankfully, Jesus just took care of it for me as I was sitting on the floor of my room at 11 o'clock at night. I go to bed at 10:30. I go to bed at 10:30, and it's awesome. I can already hear you making fun of me right now, but I do. So does my boyfriend, so do my roommates. It's great. But I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how to work it, and finally I'm sitting on the floor of my room at 11 o'clock at night, exhausted. I just go, Jesus, you just need to fix this, because I have no idea how to work technology. And none of my brothers live close to me, except for Connor, but he was probably asleep already. And I don't know how to work this, so please just help me. And all of a sudden, it was fixed. I really didn't do anything. So, pretty awesome. Thanks, Jesus. It's my Jesus moment of this week. But yeah, it's just been a very full week. And I got to Friday, and I didn't want to do anything. I felt so lazy. I had the longest to-do list on the planet and had to do my chores for the house. I had to go just do a million things. I needed like a new pair of running shoes, and who enjoys going to get a pair of running shoes? I mean, it's awesome buying them, but first of all, they're expensive. Second of all, you have to do all those weird tests to see what kind of a walker you are. I have no idea. I don't know how I move my feet. Can't you just tell me? Why do I have to do all these tests and try on all these different shoes? And I don't know what they're supposed to feel like. Do you know what running... Does anyone really know what running shoes are supposed to feel like? I guess marathon runners and actual runners. But me, I'm a leisurely runner. I'm nowhere near the Olympics or even running a 5K. So I was dreading that. And then I woke up this morning not very well rested because the boys next door to us threw a party, and it was vibrating my windows. I was just irritated because I go to bed at 10:30. I don't want to hear you playing your music until midnight, right? And I can't be that lame-o that always makes noise complaints on them, right? So it's just one of those weeks, you know, where I was like, oh, I don't want to cross anything off my to-do list. I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to lay down on the couch and eat a brownie or five brownies. Yep, five brownies. And not do anything. I want to shut my brain off. So I woke up and I did just that. My brain has not been working all day. It's literally like someone turned the off switch. I've just been like, la-di-da-di-da, I don't know what's happening. I'm just going to lay down and watch some Netflix, not really get anything done that I'm supposed to. There's zero productivity in this house today. Maggie and I both had the day off, and we kind of encouraged each other to not do anything. It was bad. But don't you just need those days sometimes? I know that I do, especially after just a full week. It wasn't a bad week by any means, but it was just full. There was just a lot to do because my life is busy, and I'm sure your life is busy, and you have an endless to-do list. And it was just so great to not have to really do anything and just feel well-rested and not feel rushed to do every single thing and to be running around and get everything on your to-do list done and be worried about everything and anxious and thinking constantly, what's the next thing I have to do? My brain finally had a brain vacation from that, and it was so great. Don't you ever need that brain vacation? I hope that I am not the only one, because that would be unfortunate. I'd maybe have to grow in virtue. But I think a lot of times we tend to compare ourselves to everybody else, and everybody else is always running from one thing to the next. And it's a constant go, 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 go. But the Lord just wants us to be still and be still and know that He's the Lord and know that He's there and He's taking care of everything for us. And of course, my very best friend, Sister Emma, left me that note on my pillow as I was on retreat with the Dominican Sisters of Nashville this past weekend. So the Lord knew that this day was going to be my day where I was just still and I wasn't going to do anything. And to be honest with you, I don't really feel bad about it. So I'm going to encourage you to have that day sometime soon, because it was awesome and it was well worth it. That brain vacation. That should be a day off from work. That should be a paid day. Sorry, I need a brain vacation. I'm just going to go home now and maybe eat some brownies and watch some Netflix. Yeah. You can quote me on that. I'd be totally fine with it. Brain vacation should be a national holiday. Be awesome. So, we can talk more about some other actual interesting stuff as soon as we get back from this short little break. We have a little break for my voice for a few minutes, and then I'll be back.
You're listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
And we're back. So, I was just talking about the importance of having that leisure time. And I actually started blocking it out on my calendar. I don't know if that's helpful for you, but helpful for me. I started blacking it out on my calendar. So I write me time, the little smiley face or like a little heart or something, because I'm so excited for it. And when I'm planning things, because I'm very much a calendar planner, I just look at it and I'm like, it's me time. Sorry, I can't. And I really had to force myself to get into the habit of saying, oh, I have to check my calendar before committing to things because I am an overcommitter. How about you? I know I am. Notorious overcommitter, because I want to say yes to everything because I get so excited about hanging out with my friends and doing volunteer stuff with youth group and all these things. I just get so excited. But it's been great to just slow myself down and think, okay, I need to look at my calendar because I can't interrupt that me time. I love me time. It's great. I can do whatever I want. And I mean, it's not just me by myself. Usually today was my me day. So I hung out with my roommate Maggie and spent some really good quality time with her. And it was great. And there's been other days where I just want to kind of be by myself for a little bit. And then, you know, get together with my roommates or go out with some friends and find something to do. I don't know. But I like the idea of not having to have a plan and not being committed to something every single second of the day, of every week, of every month, of every year, and so on and so on. So I would challenge you to do that, to schedule some me time for yourself, because it was really helpful to me. And honestly, this whole looking at my calendar and not overcommitting thing came about because of my sweet, sweet boyfriend, David. He is so great. He is the opposite of me in so many ways, where I'm very much, yes, let's go out, let's do things. I'm super extroverted, and I love to be out and about and be doing things, like, all the time. I love having plans for stuff, and I love knowing what I'm going to do the next day and having a schedule and being able to look at my watch and know what I'm doing every hour on the hour. And he is not like that at all, which is great. He could spend an entire day just sitting down and watching football and not have a care in the world. And I'm like, okay, so like, what are we doing next? Like, what's the plan? What are we doing in an hour? What are we eating for dinner? what are we doing for this? What are we doing for that? And he's like, we'll get to it when we get to it, Riley. Like, calm down. You need to simmer down. And it's been great having that balance because I need it. Otherwise, I burn myself out. And he's so, like, patient with it and so loving and caring. And I've just seen how he gets enough rest because he's not running around all the time. So he's always in a good mood. I wish I was always in good mood, but he's pretty much always in a good mood and well-rested and can give that attention to whoever he's hanging out with because he's not thinking, what am I doing next? Like, what's happening in the next few minutes, the next 15 minutes, you know? And he has taught me so much in patience. Man, oh, has he taught me a lot in patience, let me tell you. So, we met at a fish fry. It was every Catholic girl's dream, meeting her boyfriend at a fish fry. I know, so romantic. So, we met at a fish fry, and we knew each other for, I think, about 2 months. Maybe 2.5 months before he actually asked me out, which I think is so good to be friends before you actually start dating, especially dating in a situation that you're thinking, okay, well, the next person, you know, when I date someone, I want to be able to just start a marriage with them from the beginning. So he was very intentional about it, but I was over there like tapping my foot, going crazy because I was like, okay, well, I know that I like him, and I knew that I liked him after like 2 weeks, and I was like, okay, so like, when's he gonna ask me out on a date? When is this happening? And he waited 2 months, which was so great for my growth and patience. I was literally like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even think that he likes me because he's not asking me out. This is so weird. Why won't he ask me out? Like, he's like taking forever to do this. Does he like me? Does he not like me? What's happening? Like, yes, my brain goes a million miles a minute, and he was, like, just slowly taking his time, discerning, like, do I like her? I know that I like her, but do I really like her? Like her enough to date her? And, like, thought all of this through, and I'm like, okay, so, like, I'm sold. And it was so good because I was able to grow in patience, and then, like, discernment is patience and is waiting, and waiting for the right time and letting your boyfriend or your husband or your fiance or whoever it is lead you, because that's the role of men in our relationships as Catholics, is we want them to lead us. And not that women are any less than men, you know. I'm all for women. Go women. But it was so hard letting him lead. So hard. Because I was so impatient. And he was not. And honestly, I was thinking about our relationship the other day, kind of in prayer, and this is a weird thing that would come up in prayer, but I was just thinking about it, and I was like, wow, have you ever seen the movie Zootopia? It's like that Disney movie with the bunny cop. So I started thinking about it, and I am definitely the rabbit cop. She's like, let's go, like, let's get this thing moving, let's get started, like, I need to do this, and, like, her thoughts are a million miles a minute, and she's going everywhere, and, like, doesn't slow down, because she's, like, this little quick rabbit, and that would be me. And I imagine David as, I kind of compared him to the sloth, and sorry if that's, like, offensive, David. I don't think he'd be offended by it. But he was, like, the sloth, because the sloth is, like, very slow and takes his time and, you know, double-checks all his work and just, like, thinks everything through and is just very slow and steady. And I'm, like, over here, like, the rabbit, like, jumping up and down, like, thumping her foot, like, ah, like, what's happening? And it's really the perfect balance, because I think while sometimes he gets irritated with my quick, let's get moving, sometimes I, like, make him speed things up a little bit, and then sometimes he's like, okay, you need to just take 5 seconds and sit down and do nothing and not feel guilty about it and just take a breather. So
if you don't have that person in your life, you should definitely get that person in your life, because taking a breather is important, as I've come to learn in the past 21 years of my life. I wish that I had the boundless energy of a 3-year-old, but unfortunately, I cannot bottle it up and use it every morning, dump it in my coffee. So, as busy people, we should just slow down. Like I said, we should just have that brain vacation day. Really, the more I think about it, the more I think it should be mandatory. And I'm actually really excited to go tell my roommates about it, because I think it's a genius idea. We should just have brain vacation. Just rest. And like I said, just be still. And be still and know that you can just... The Lord is okay with you just sitting. He's okay with you just being calm and breathing and not doing anything, just sitting in his presence. I think that's so important, because he's calling us to be with him, and the Lord lives now. The Lord's grace is now. It's not in the future, it's not in the past. His grace is right now. So if we're able to stop and slow down our brains and slow down our bodies and just be in the moment and be with him, then we're able to receive all of those graces and all of the joy and love and mercy that he just wants to outpour on us. And I don't know about you, but I need all of the grace that I can get, all the mercy that I can get, and all the love that I can get. Because otherwise, I would be falling apart at the seams every second of the day. I would be a disaster. So I would definitely challenge you to do that this week, to just have that time. And even if you can't do a full day, just do an hour to yourself. Go hide in a closet somewhere or something and bring like an iced tea and a good book and just chill out. Or a prayer journal or something. It's so important to just take that time. I have really come to appreciate it. Especially in working with kids, have I come to appreciate that. I literally can't even go to the bathroom without someone knocking on the door being like, so can I have a snack? So what are we doing next? Can we bake some cookies? Can we go to the park? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I'm like, I'm trying to go to the bathroom. Jeez. Oh, yeah. I know you moms out there know what I'm talking about. Oh, it is, God bless you, because I get to come home and use my bathroom in privacy, but, like, you're with them all day. You never get to go to the bathroom without someone banging on the door. So, just know I'm praying for you. And we will be right back after this quick break.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
And we're back. So before that last little break, I was talking about how I've grown so much in patience. And I just started thinking about how much the Lord truly has helped me grow in patience, especially during the past 2 years. Because I have been praying so much that the Lord would bring me a good and healthy relationship. And in that, I just started also thinking about praying for your future husband. And that's just come up a lot lately for whatever reason. People have just been talking to me about it a lot, and I've been reading about it a lot. And I still do pray for my future husband, even though I'm in a relationship, obviously, because we don't know yet if that's where the Lord is calling us, if he's calling us to marriage. And I think that, you know, you should still be praying for your future husband, because if it is David, then he's just getting double prayers. And if it's not, then I didn't stop praying for him ever. But how do you pray for your future husband? Because
And do you have this tendency? I sometimes have the tendency to start praying for my future husband and I get really good about it, but then I just start letting it consume my thoughts. And I don't get obsessed with it, but I just let it consume my thoughts and I think about living in the future instead of living in the now. Which I think is so easy to do because who doesn't want to think about their wedding day and how awesome it's going to be to live with your best friend and to be married in a good, healthy marriage and just live the rest of your life with someone that you love and someone that God brought into your life. I think that's beautiful to think about, but as girls, you know, we like to think about that kind of stuff and watch rom-coms and look at wedding boards on Pinterest. I know there's a lot of girls that like to do that, and there's also a lot of girls that don't do that at all, which go you, because that's awesome. I, on the other hand, am totally like, I just love wedding stuff and looking at it. And not that I'm always looking like, I haven't like planned my wedding or anything crazy like that, but I do really enjoy going to weddings and I'm like, oh, this is so cute and fun. I love this and I just want to dance all night and party and wear a cute dress, you know. But fortunately for me, the Lord has brought me a lot of ways to pray for my future husband without letting it consume my thoughts completely. And it took a lot of prayer to find those ways. Isn't that crazy? It takes you a lot of prayer to find the prayer. Like, what? It's so complicated. But yeah, he really showed me in the past probably 2 years just a bunch of different ways that I can do it and ways that I actually enjoy praying for my future husband. So one thing that I do is I like to pray the rosary. So I'll just offer up the last decade for my future husband. And it doesn't happen every time, but I do it pretty frequently enough, pretty often enough. And I think it's been really good because I can focus on the other decades and meditate on that and think about it and offer it up for other people and friends and family and offer it up for those things. And then once I get to the last decade, I'm usually, okay, so I'm going to offer up this decade for him and just this decade. So it's just 10 Hail Marys. It's easier for me to focus on just that decade instead of an entire rosary. Because if I prayed an entire rosary for my future husband, my thoughts would go so astray. I need to change it up a lot. And I try to discipline myself. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, I'm just gonna work on this and focus on this part instead of trying to overachieve and go for the whole thing. Not that you're an overachiever if you do the whole thing, because that's awesome. Go you. But for me, I think it's really good. And just another thing that I do is I will write letters. I'm a big prayer journaler. So whenever I think of something that I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. I want to tell my future husband that, because that'll be so applicable whenever, like, yada, yada, yada happens. I don't know. I can't really think of a specific example right now of a prayer that I've written, because they're all in my prayer journals. But I want to be able to give that to him someday if I remember and if I don't lose my prayer journals between now and then. Because there's some just cool stuff. And I've heard so many stories. I don't think that I have anything like this, but I've heard a lot of cool stories about women that will write in their prayer journals when they wake up in the middle of the night and think that they need to pray for their future husband. And then they'll get married and give the letter to their husband. And he's like, oh, on that night I was in a car accident and a miracle happened that I wasn't ejected from the car and I was completely unharmed. Like, what? That is awesome. That's so cool. I want something like that to happen to me. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want something to happen to my future husband. Please be safe. And I'm praying for your safety. But I just think that's really cool. And it's such an obvious sign that, you know, your prayers are heard and that your prayers are important and the Lord takes them so seriously and dispenses of the graces from those to someone that's going to be important in your life later. That's crazy. It's so awesome. I love hearing stories like that. And you can go on Google and just type it in, like, future husband letter prayer thing. I don't know. But you can find them all over the internet. It's pretty sweet. My roommate, Maggie, and I keep saying my roommate, but Maggie and I have some pretty good prayer times together. And she and I were sitting there one night and had all these candles lit, and we were having some really good intercessory prayer, and we were singing and just had a real good prayer night. And all of a sudden, I just started feeling the urge to pray for her future husband. So I did. I started praying for him and said some intercessory prayer for him and just asked for protection and all that good stuff that usually comes up in prayer. And I thought that was so good because it's easier for me to say prayers for him and to not feel so attached because it's not my future husband, it's hers. And not to let that totally consume me because, yet again, it's her future husband. It's not me thinking about mine or praying for my future husband. So that's a really beautiful way to pray for him, is to pray with your friends and to allow them to say those intercessory prayers for them and allow the Lord to just kind of tell them what he needs prayer for. Because sometimes when it's prayer that's for us or for someone that we know really well, it's harder because, you know, you're like, is that just me imagining that in my head? Or is that something that I really need to be praying for? And then again, on the retreat, Maggie felt the urge and the prompting to pray for her future husband. So we were able to sit in the chapel at the Dominican Mother House and pray for him and just ask for protection. And that was a really awesome moment for me as her friend. And on that retreat with her in such an awe-inspiring place and beautiful chapel. Because as her friend, she's going to be a part of my life as long as the Lord allows her to be and allows me to be a part of her life. So I want her to be happy and I want him to be safe and protected because he's marrying my best friend, you know? He's going to. That was just an awesome moment for me because I kind of felt like I was a part of that moment and that prayer, and it was just really beautiful to experience with a friend. So I would definitely recommend, if you have a girlfriend that you are comfortable enough with, to ask, hey, can we just sit down and pray together and we have some intercessory prayer for future husbands, and maybe we could talk about it a little bit, just different things, different emotions, because is it hard waiting? It's especially hard when you have no idea. You're like, well, I'm not engaged and I'm not like even close to marriage. So like, I'm just praying for this person that I don't even know what they look like. I don't know what they sound like. And I don't know if I've met them yet. It's weird. It's really weird. Yeah. Sometimes I get super irritated because I'm like, I just want to know. I was saying that to my spiritual director today. Actually, we were talking about discernment and I said, Father, listen, I just want to know. I'm so sick of not knowing. Can Jesus just tell me? This is such a long process. And then he told me about his discernment story, and he waited like 6 years or something to enter seminary. He had the thought when he was in fifth grade or something, and then waited until he was out of college for 4 years to decide to enter the seminary. And I was like, please don't let that be me. I don't know if I can be that patient. Oh my goodness. It is such a struggle. See, there's that theme, patience, just coming back around and around again. Apparently, I really need to grow in it because it keeps coming up. So pray for me. Pray that I grow in patience. That's like the hardest virtue to grow in. Oh, but everyone says that about every virtue. So let's be real. They're all hard to grow in. But we can talk more about that kind of growth. Not that I really want to. After this quick little break.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
And we're back again. Guess who's back, back again. Yep, it's me. Hey. So, talking about the sisters of St. Cecilia, can I just tell you, the sisters are hilarious and awesome, and I said earlier, my best friend is a postulant at the Dominicans of St. Cecilia's mother house. Sister Emma, she's so great, and I'm so blessed to call her my best friend. She's hilarious and awesome, and I miss her dearly. So she is my pen pal, and I am not the best letter writer, but she's really great at writing letters. She sends me 5-page updates on her life, and then she has just 1 page of hilarious stories that she shares. And in the last letter that I got, she was able to send me a little like note card with her schedule written out on it, so the times that she was doing everything during the day, which is really cool. And we put it up on a bulletin board that's in our kitchen, and we have a picture of Maggie, Emma, and I right next to it. And it's just nice because, you know, when you're walking in and out of the kitchen, and I spend a lot of time in the kitchen because I like to eat, and I walk in and out, and it's nice because at any time of the day, I can just look at the schedule and see exactly what Emma would be doing and kind of guess, you know, is she doing recreation time or what are they doing right now? It's just really cool to think about, and it also just helps me to remember to pray for her because sometimes I forget. Sorry, Emma. Hope you didn't listen to that part. But it's really cute and fun, and all my roommates know Sister Emma, so we all just love getting her letters, and we're so excited to get her schedule. So we put it up on the kitchen bulletin board for everyone to see, and on that kitchen bulletin board is also little scrapbook pages of getting to know the roommates. So the four of us have different little fun facts on there, and just, you know, our favorite desserts and what we like to do for fun and all that stuff. It's just really cute, you know. We're super girly here. Like I said, we're like a Catholic sorority house. And my roommate, Ailey, she is, I think she's the president of the Filipino club that she started. She started a Filipino club, and she had a night at our house where they were doing karaoke, they were playing games and eating some Filipino food that I can't pronounce, so I'm not even going to try to attempt to pronounce the names of them. And I was sitting in the kitchen because there are a lot of people here. I was kind of tired and didn't really want to socialize, which is weird for me because I'm really extroverted. And she had a bunch of people that I didn't know here. So I was sitting in the kitchen with one of my good friends, Yadal. We were just catching up because we hadn't seen each other in a while. And a guy walks in that I had never seen before. And he stands there for probably 20 minutes in the kitchen. Okay, maybe not 20 minutes. I'm exaggerating. It was probably shorter than that. But he was standing there, and I finally look up, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he creeping around my kitchen? And He was reading our bulletin board. And I was like, oh, duh. Like, reading the getting to know yous, which I started laughing on the inside because mine says that I want to be more outdoorsy. Like, who writes that down as their aspiration in life? And Maggie says that she aspires to be a hot mama because she wants to be a mom. And super hilarious. Sorry, that was my alarm. I have an alarm to tell me when to start getting ready for bed. Yes. Yep. Even on the weekends. Rock it out. And I love bedtime. It's great. If you haven't heard Father Mike Schmidt's homily on bedtimes and how important they are, you should listen to it. Sorry. Anyways, back to the story. He's reading our bulletin board. Hilarious. He's reading that we want to be hot mamas and that we like to eat brownies and all this just funny stuff. And I realized then that he is reading Emma's postulant schedule, which, yeah, that's so cool. He's reading this schedule that has all this intense prayer time on it and waking up at 5 a.m. and blah, 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 blah. And then I realized that he probably doesn't know what a postulant is because, first of all, I'm Catholic and I didn't know what a postulant was until this year when Sister Emma was discerning. Second of all, he wasn't Catholic, so pretty positive he had no idea what a postulant was. And he's like looking at the schedule, and then he looks at me, and then looks at the schedule, and then looks at me again. And I think he was like, these people are crazy. They wake up at 5 a.m. and pray, and they pray like 6 times a day, and has this intense schedule. And I was cracking up. I thought I was going to pee my pants. I was trying so hard not to laugh. And the minute that he leaves, I'm like telling my roommates, like, ah, ha, ha, this guy thinks that we have this intense schedule that all the sisters have. And now I'm kind of tempted to write, like this is a sister's schedule. It's not our schedule. But I also just think it's kind of hilarious that people think that we wake up at 5 a.m. and pray. So, yeah, that was great. People think that I live the life of a sister, but I mean, you just found out that I also have an alarm set for bedtime. I know, I'm so lame, but thank you so much for listening, and I'm so glad that I got to spend this time with you just sharing more about my life, and I can't wait to share more, all the funny stories that I have of babies peeing on people. Yep, that happened this week. And, you know, just my struggles and my joys and all the joys of my friends and the awesome Catholic women that I know. Because I think it's so important for us to talk about all of it and to share our lives with each other. Because sometimes we get so caught up in looking at the perfection of social media, thinking that no one struggles or no one has those super goofy moments because everyone is so perfect. They portray themselves as this perfect person who, you know, doesn't struggle with things but also doesn't have those like super goofy moments where they've taken a really ugly picture, which I do frequently. And I think it's just important to support each other, especially as Catholic women. Like, we need support and we need love and nurturing to grow in our faith and to grow with each other and to become those strong Catholic women. And strong Catholic women can change the world. Look at Mother Teresa. She was a strong Catholic woman. She changed the world. Look at Saint Therese of Lisieux. She was a strong Catholic woman, and she is a doctor of the church. Like, what? There are so many women saints, and there are so many women walking the earth right now that are going to change the world, and we can do it, but we have to support each other. And I think it's great to have that community of women that are in their singleness, because you can't really understand it unless you're going through it. And it's good to have those conversations about
this time that we're in, this time of singleness and this period of craziness in our world, and being able to love and support each other through it and know that there are other people that are struggling with you. There are other people that are having the same struggles that you do, but also having the same joys that you do. Finding the joys in the same things. And also having faith. Like, having faith brings us together. We're all sisters in Christ, which is so awesome to think about. We have, I don't even know how many thousands of Catholic sisters just roaming across the world. So it's important that we support each other and that we love each other during this time of nuttiness. So I'm so excited to share with you. I have so many great stories and things that'll make you giggle. So I just thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you have a great week. And this week, I just want to challenge you to go out and to have that time scheduled in for yourself. To take a break from the craziness of your work week, from the craziness of your school week, and just sit down and, girl, go get your nails done, or sit down and drink a cup of tea on the porch and read a book, or just sit down in silence, because I do that sometimes. Sometimes you just need to sit in silence and let your brain go on brain vacation. Yep, that's what we need to do. So I just really challenge you to do that this week. Just get together with some girlfriends, hang out, have fun, and share in fellowship and continue to build each other up. So thanks again for listening, and tune in again soon.